We'll lay a little groundwork this morning. Very well could go into next week before we get to lesson one of your handouts there. Subject of authority, Lowell and I was talking there before we started, you know, that's nothing new. And I guess to say, as far as what I've put together, there is nothing new. I pull from 26 years of studying with you all, the years before that, the things that were taught here. I've pulled from my own stuff. I've pulled from sources that I have thoroughly checked through. And I've put these handouts together, or these guidelines, to kind of get us through this. So I guess what I'm saying is I've got nothing new. We're going to show that God's Word is perfect and it's complete. It's infallible. But I'm a man. Sources outside God's divine Word are uninspired men. And we are subject to error or failure. So we need to know up front and be on our own guards and protect the integrity or the authority of God's words. We've got to establish some standards before we go into a study on authority, because it's talking about the very thing that God's Word is. So we have to accept some things. Have you ever sat down and just, I don't want to lose a lot of time, but have you ever sat down and just wondered, why did God reveal to us who He was, what He wanted, and what was going to happen in written word? Now, anything that we could come up with would be opinion on our part. But we have to accept the fact that God, knowing us as His creation, requiring faith of us and love from us, which all hinge on this ability of choice that we have, that we're given. He knows in His infinite wisdom, this was the divine and the perfect way to reveal to us. That's all we have today, is His written Word. I say that's all we have, not in that it's confined in any manner at all, but it is exclusive, it's perfect, it's complete, and everything that we need in this for every good work, everything we need to thoroughly equip us, everything pertaining to godliness, we have to understand, accept that as a given, a standard. If we never accept that, we will seek outside this Word. We'll allow ourselves to be led away, and we'll find ourselves outside this Word. There's no additions. There's no subtractions. That's a thought of God from the old law, Deuteronomy 4:2. It's carried on into the New Testament, Revelations 22:19. We don't add to, we don't subtract from, we don't change, and we don't create. That's what causes diversity. That's what we see around us. Diversity is not God's fault. It's not His Word's fault. It's man's fault and how he interprets God's Word. So that's what we've got a quarter ahead of us to look at. How we interpret God's Word. Respecting His authority, what His authority is, and how we arrive at logical conclusions that He gave us human wisdom to come to conclusions with. Jeremiah 6:16. Paths of old were mentioned there. We stand in the ways. We're to desire the paths of old, the good ways, the old ways. But we see, sadly, that even there, it's mentioned as the verse closes out, some will not desire those ways of old, those good paths that's been put before them by God. They have their own opinion, don't they? Some will say, we will not walk that way. We have to understand, and when we get into speaking about authority and whatnot, that man has been allowed choice. He's been allowed judgment. He's been allowed opinion. But he has never been allowed to alter, add to, subtract anything of God's will and His commands. We were given human wisdom. We were given judgment, these faculties in the likeness of God, in order to interpret His Word and use that for logical inferences to carry out His commandments, not to change them, not to alter them, not to create new. That brought up a thought when I was putting these things together. There's things sometimes that we run across in Scripture, and even when we're back, a lot of it in the Old, especially in the Old Law, the Old Testament, things that we just don't understand. Why God chose. We mentioned about why did He reveal to us in His Word. He could reveal to us who He was, what He wanted, any way He wanted to do it, but He chose this manner. He chose His Word. We can think about other things that we don't understand sometimes in our human wisdom, but we have to understand human wisdom limits us. We make judgments and we make decisions based on our limited human intelligence. We are not capable of seeing all the way to eternity whatever decision we make creates. God can. We don't need to second guess God. There's things we may not understand why, but we don't question those things. I considered just a few minutes of the great men of faith. All the great examples that we have that came before us. And you know, when you get to thinking about the apostles, when you get to thinking about, you know, Abraham, Moses, you know, all these ones, all these great men were great because they were faithful followers of God. They didn't originate. They did not create. They did no changing. They merely followed the instructions of God without question. That's what made them awesomely great. Now, they faltered. They made mistakes. And God's Word quickly showed us that punishment came from that. That's not accepted. They were great because they followed and carried out what God gave them without question. Thinking about Abraham, for instance. You know, we often think, because in Hebrews 11:1, you know, it mentions there in, earlier on, that he exhibited great faith by pulling up. Abraham was a man of resources. He pulled up from a home, a place, and left without a destination. He put his full faith in God. Human reasoning would have told Abraham, that's not a smart thing to do. I'm extending myself and taking chances here. But he did it without question. And what about when Isaac came along later? The years that he and Sarah prayed and wanted child, and God brings this child to them in this wonderful way that he did it. And then he gives Abraham instruction to sacrifice that child. What would human reasoning tell us? Human wisdom would say, why would a God want me to kill something that he so graciously, mercifully gave me? That don't make sense. I'll sacrifice something in another manner or in substitution. But you see, he never questioned any of that. That's why he was great. That's why he was a man of faith. Job was the same way. I don't know about you, but Job's a great encouragement for me. I like to go in and read about him, what he went through. It's amazing. He encourages us because he stuck to his guns. He stuck with God. He never turned his back on him, even when he was given influence to do it. He never questioned. He questioned, but he never, his actions never varied. He stayed faithful. Noah was another one, wasn't he? Told to build an ark, a flood that was coming. Can you imagine the ridicule and the people that were around saying, look at this kook building this boat. What's with that, you know? They weren't concerned with things like that. But Noah did what God told him to do, and he never questioned it. We'll talk more about Noah later on. because he's a great example of how he followed God's instructions to the T. Moses. You know, I think about him and what he left in Egypt. How easy would it have been for a man that was in the lap of luxury and comfort and everything at his fingertips to say, you know, I'd be more useful to my people right here where I can help them and give them an influence. But he never questioned. He did question, but he never veered from his obedience. And he did what God did. I'm glad he did. I'm glad Joshua, being a military leader that he was, followed the instructions of God and marched around the wall and watched it fall instead of using human wisdom. These are all things that we can use to show it's the following of God's instruction without change that pleases Him and that what we're required to do. The same thing that made them great is the same thing that's expected of us today. Our job is to protect the integrity of God's Word. The thing of it is we can look to the end because of God's Word, and we can know that we're going to be judged in the end by what's written here. Not by anything that man changes, adds to, alters, creates. We will stand in judgment, we're told, of God's Word and what is written. Human reasoning and wisdom, choice, judgment, opinions, making necessary inferences, all these things that God has given us the ability or the opportunity to do has to be carried out. Human wisdom has to be used to interpret His commands, interpret what we're supposed to do, to carry out what He's already told us to do, not to alter what He's told us or not to create new. So keep these thoughts in mind as we begin our study, because authority is very important. We will never come to the same conclusions on anything as long as authority is not observed. We see it in the world. We see it all around us. It causes division, doesn't it? We have to have authority for what we do. What do we mean by authority? Let's look at lesson one. Man's need for a standard in religion. Matthew 21:23. You all may remember that. That's the opportunity where chief priests and the elders question Christ about, by what authority do you do these things, and who gave you this authority? Man recognizes he has to have authority. We need authority. Man's a free moral agent, isn't he? He's a creature of choice. We have the freedom to do whatever we want to do. We can accept, we cannot accept God's instructions. We can do whatever we want to do. He allows us that. But we're also accountable to God for what we do in our actions and how we handle things. Man needs some kind of a standard to measure his actions and the acceptability of them. You can just think about it. The very concept of right and wrong by itself implies there has to be a standard or something that defines what is right and what is wrong. Otherwise, how do we know what is right and wrong? A judgment. We're told that we'll stand in judgment in the end. That shows us that there's got to be a standard that we will be stacked up to, weighed in the balance of, compared to, because God is just and righteous. And He will judge us accordingly. So it's this standard that we need. The question, I guess, or the issue is, as we look around the world today, who determines the standard? That's what first came to my mind. Does each man become his own standard? I don't know about you, but I can think back of when man did what was right in his own sight. And we'll look at that in Judges 17:6 a little bit later. That miserably failed. Can a group of men better than us, better qualified to give directions, can they create a standard? Or does it need to be someone outside of man? Someone who's not susceptible to the weaknesses and the fallacies that man has, his limitations that he has. Someone that's totally objective. And when we talk about objective, you know, there's various approaches to finding authoritative standards. We divide them often into subjective and objective. The subjective standards are just what we say they are. They're standards of ours that are subject to influence. They're subjective. With the person, that would be conscious, feelings, experiences, understandings, the things that make up our character. All those things, when we come to conclusions, those are subjective to those. The objective standards would be those standards which come from outside of man, outside of the person, to where the person himself is not influenced by his own feelings, but he gets an objective view from someone who would not be influenced by their feelings. The problem is those influences come from majorities that are outside of you personally, minorities outside of you, parents, relatives, creeds of men, philosophers, human tradition. Another one that was mentioned was Latter-day Revelations. We have several instances of that. The church, the preacher, Christian schools, it doesn't matter, religious editors and publications. But what is the flaw of that? Even when it's objective and it's outside you as a person, it's still from human sources that are subject to their own limitations and their own subjective standards. It's quite obvious that nobody, at least of a man, can serve and be a purely objective standard for what governs him. Judges 17:6 that we mentioned a while ago. We saw where every man did what was right in his own eyes. That didn't work, did it? That failed miserably. Let's talk about the concept of authority. If we come up with standards, guides, what value are those guides or instructions if there's no value or no punishment or repercussion put with them, if there's no value put in them? In other words, if we all do what's right in our own eyes, there's no rewards or punishments, no answering to anything that we do, what is going to cause us to follow those? You see, you can't separate the two. Standards have to have values attached to them. We mentioned earlier, we'll all be held accountable for what we do, whether it's good or whether it's bad. So we got to understand that along with this authority, or this standard that we come to, it has value. It has repercussions. Think about it in our physical world today. If our laws that we create as man in civil courts never had punishments or repercussions for abiding or not abiding, what would we find ourselves in? Total chaos. Every man for himself. The strong will make it, the weak won't. The concept of authority involves the power. You all may have some more to add to this. The right to command and the ability to enforce his will upon other men. Now this, in the worldly sense, is in a limited extent because we as men, restrained to a physical world, can only influence in the physical world. We have absolutely no control over eternity or what happens after this world. That's what people fail to forget. If you have all the authority in the world and you can manipulate or do anything you want to here on this earth, it's going to be done and over with. We're helpless when it comes to doing anything beyond this world. That's the concept of authority, the power, the ability to enforce one's will upon other men. We've divided authority, usually when we talk about it, into two kinds, inherit and delegated. Inherit authority is the beginning place of all authority. It's the origin, the original, the authority that exists. Whereas delegated authority, and there's a difference, is authority that is passed on to someone else, but it always is accompanied with the restriction that when you pass that authority on to someone else, that they carry out your will. That person that receives it from another carries out the intentions of the one who gave it to him. That's the case of delegated authority. I think we all agree God is obviously the only one that can purely give this objective standard to direct, to correct, to control our thoughts, words, and deeds into those right paths, those old paths, those good paths, those paths of His own. He's the one that all power and authority resides in. We know He controls all things physical, spiritual. He's eternal. All authority inheres in Him. Genesis 17:1. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou upright. Authority originated with God. He's the ruler of the universe. Psalm 66:7 tells us He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. We know He's all-powerful because of who He is. He has no beginning and no end. He's ever existing. Everything else that exists came from Him. He created. We know He is because of what He's done. Created all these things. Everything. And because of what He does, He sustains all things. He keeps all things in motion. When you consider all this, it kind of makes it clear that, and when we don't question, this all-powerful God chose to give us a written account to guide us, to show us, to divulge to us His will for us. And it's all perfect and complete. Nothing lacking. We don't have to add anything or subtract anything. Everything that we need is there. He gave it to us in His Word. He spoke to us through His Son. We're told in Hebrews 1 and 2 in the later times. God has this authority to command and demand obedience from all His subjects and all His creations. Matthew 28:18, where we're reminded that Jesus Christ has received all authority. His will for man has been given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Got to mention that. To the apostles, these were given to them to be written down, recorded, and handed to us to guide us and to be preserved for all time. That's the role that we play, is to preserve the purity, the perfectness, the integrity of what God has passed on to us. John 16:13. Ephesians 3:3-5. Matthew 24:35. We see mankind is to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42, where we're told that, because it's the authority of God that was behind all their teaching. The revealing that they wrote down, the Holy Scripture that was received through the Holy Spirit and not originated by them in any manner. They merely followed all instruction that they were given. They didn't originate anything, but even today in our, now that we have that, I think it's 1 Corinthians 13 that shows us that this that was coming was to become perfect and complete. And those things that were old, the acts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the prophesying, the healing, all those things were going to come to an end when this is made perfect. Well, this is made perfect is what we have today. It's all inclusive, lacking for nothing. Colossians 3:17 is a verse that we often use. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what we're required to do. To recognize His authority that's over us. It takes precedent over us. The authority that will conduct our life. Man is warned too. On the flip side, not only do we have a command to do, we have a prohibition to not do something else. Because if we don't abide in that doctrine of Christ, we're told that He's not God. It's not of God. So 2 John 9 tells us that. Sum it all up, for the most part. Our lives are to be lived within the bounds of God's direction. And they are God's directions lacking for nothing. I'm reminded, too, of some scripture that we often use, that God gives us for reasons why man needs His help as well. Fallacies that man has of his own. Weaknesses, lackings. Jeremiah 10:23 reminds us, doesn't it? That it's not in man to direct his own steps. Proverbs 3:5 is another good verse to remind us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own what? Understanding, right. It's not in us. It's in Him. Proverbs 14:12 warns us. There's a way that will seem right to us. It will make sense to us. But the end of it can be the ways into death. That's why we must stick solely to God's Word. Not jeopardizing or putting in a chance or eternities in what we have that wait before us that are so much greater. I think, too, you all may have your own feelings and stuff, but too much sin is around man now. You look around at society around you. Look at how much you've been desensitized and calloused. Look at how much you're constantly in and having to stir in. It's always been that way. It's no different today than it's ever been. We may think it's been a little worse, but we know at times, especially with Noah, it ain't ever going to be no worse than that. But we see here that this sin and this color our sight. We begin to miss things in our lives. I know we all do. I know I do. I catch myself tolerating things that you wake up all of a sudden and you realize, I don't even need to go there or be that. You know, that's not what I need to do. Does that exhibit what I need to exhibit to those around me who know I'm a Christian? So I think man's own judgment is blurred by his desensitization or his callousness of sin that's around. That's the way Satan wears us down. You sit there and you tell somebody every day something, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. And before long, it seems in some senses that man begins to believe that. Or at least overlook it. It loses its shock to our conscience.
Well, our sin is disguised so much today.
Absolutely.
Not like it was openly, but today it's so disguised that it tries to blur your mind, you know, what we're saying.
Right.
That makes it sound like, well, it's all right, but it's so disguised today.
Yeah, it has. You know, that's a good point. God's Word is not changed. The need is not changed. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed is man's had 2,000 years to perfect those very things. How to hide these sins. How to hide these things. Man is prejudiced, not only desensitized and callous, but he's prejudiced as well when he allows this subjective nature of his to come into passions, desires, all these things. He needs an absolute and a perfect standard that has nothing to do with man, is what he needs. He needs a standard by which his life can be measured. Remember James 1:25, to live that life unspotted. In order to do that, we've got to have his standard to be able to live a life that's unspotted. Only God is able to give that as a standard. Lord willing, next week we'll start with respecting God's authority, and we'll finish up lesson one, and we'll get started on lesson two. Is there any comments or questions or additions? Thank you.